Go ahead, Randy. So tonight we're going to be continuing on. It's Seed Time and Harvest Part 2. Let me open in prayer. Father, we give you praise and we thank you for who you are to us. Lord, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. And Father, we praise you for what we're about to hear tonight. Lord, we ask you to drill it down into our hearts big time and just plant it there. Cause us to see it. Bring revelation knowledge to us of how the kingdom operates. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Do you have notes? I know I always ask that, but trust me, you'll need them tonight. So we are going to go through, I'm going to be going through a lot of Greek words, but don't focus too much on the Greek word. Focus on the meaning, okay? It doesn't matter if you know what the Greek word's in your notes. You can look at it later, but when I get to that Greek word, I'm just going to focus on the meaning. Because we're going to touch on a section of scripture that I have to go through it, break it down that way, because there's so much there. And we really need to understand that the Word of God is not religiosity, it's not a religion. It is an intimate relationship with Almighty God, and we are in a covenant with Him that Jesus has founded for us, and we have entered into that covenant. And so that covenant speaks of oneness, one with God, one with his kingdom. And you need to grab a hold of the fact that the kingdom of God is within you. It's not on the outside. It's not far away. It's not something that we're trying to grab onto. It's in you. And so since it's in you, then it's a process of learning how to release or how to bring kingdom, I'm going to call it this, substance, into the natural world. So we look at this natural world and we say this is three-dimensional, this is substance. It is. But you need to understand that God's word is substance. In fact, it's more substance, more real, more substance reality than what you see in the natural realm. Because the natural realm was birthed out of that substance. And so it is more concrete, it is more definite. So I'm going to get into a little review, and then we're going to jump into what I'm talking about. So Luke 12:32, we're talking about the kingdom of God, and look what Jesus said, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So he has given us the kingdom. Matthew 6:33, and I have this in the Amplified, "But seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides." Luke 17:20-21. So I want you to see these scriptures because you need to see he's talking about the kingdom of God. He wants you to understand you're a part of the kingdom. You're a kingdom citizen. And so as a citizen, you need to understand the laws and the ways and how it functions. Because if you don't understand those things, then you could become a frustrated Christian. And then you could start twisting things by saying, well, you know, God doesn't want me to have these things and everything. And you can start blaming God because things aren't showing up. And that's incorrect. It is not God. There is a process of living in the kingdom of how the kingdom operates. Luke 17:20-21, I just love this scripture. A lot of these scriptures I have memorized, because they're so powerful and they're so rich that I want them in me. So I go over my scriptures every day. I go over 100 scriptures every day. And I do this. People might say, oh, that's works, Pastor Dan. That's not works to me. It's life. And so to me, I want these things fresh. I want my understanding to see them every day so I don't lose track of them, so I can start growing in each one of them. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." And I like the Greek says it's within you now. I like that. And so what is the kingdom? The word kingdom in the Greek language is the word basileia. And it literally means royal dominion. It means reign. It means rule and kingly power. You know, when you think of the word kingdom, it's actually made up of two words, the king's domain or the king's dominion. And so kingdom is where the king rules, and he has ruler authority and rulership. And so it's talking about that kingdom is within you, God's kingdom, of which you are now one with. Mark 4:26-32, and he said, The kingdom of God is, boy, you need to pay attention to this. This is, I'll tell you, it's kind of a big scripture, but it's one that you ought to really take a close look, maybe even commit it to memory. And he said, the kingdom of God is. When Jesus says, here's how the kingdom operates, or here's how the kingdom is, guess what? Whoop, my ears get perked up. I need to know this. And Jesus is going to give me some understanding of how the kingdom operates? Hey, phew, I'm in. Look what he says. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So you see that the kingdom of God is sowing seeds. And what do seeds do? They come up the next day? No, they don't. There's a process, and so there's a growth process, and then eventually harvest time. Eventually it's a full plant. So God's way of doing things that we saw in Matthew 6:33, God's way of doing things in the kingdom is sowing seeds. And if you can get a hold of that, that'll change your life. And so Genesis 1:28 and 29. Then God blessed them. We're talking now about Adam and Eve. And so it says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be food. So notice that God gave two gifts to mankind. He gave dominion and authority. Those two go together, dominion and authority. And he gave seeds. And so that has been given to mankind. And so we need to understand that we are natural people that were born on the earth, so we have these gifts. But as a born-again person, we are one with the kingdom of God. So we have God's substance to work with. 1 Peter 1:23 tells us that having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So here we see that God's word is seed. And you'll also see this in the beginning of Mark chapter 4, verses 4:14 and 15. It says, sower sows the word. And so it's talking about the different types of ground that the word plants into. So we need to see that God's word is seed. It is, I'm going to say this, I'm going to use a, it is word seed. So it's a hyphenated word. I come up with all these different words to help me focus on different things. So God's word is word seed. And if you will start looking at the word of God as word seed, anytime you come across word, you're looking at word seed. And if you remember last week, we talked about, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance over the evidence of things not seen. It's substance. Now faith is the substance. God's word is substance. And so it's word seed. So let's now move on. That was our recap. And so let's get into what we're, I'm going to slow it down now. We need to get into what we're talking about. 2 Peter 1:1-2. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So in that section right there, did you notice that it says to those who have obtained like precious faith? And so you have obtained, and notice that that word obtained is in, it's have obtained is in the past tense, number one. But this word obtained means to determine to be so. I like that. God has, when you've obtained like precious faith, that is God saying, you have now got something in your life that'll put you in the right place, that'll put you into that righteousness, God's way of doing. It'll put you into the right order of things, and you will become as you were determined by Almighty God to be. I think a lot of times Christians wonder, I've heard this over the years. I don't know my calling. I don't know my purpose. I don't know why God created me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. I've heard people that have been Christians 30 years say that. I just don't know. I don't know what my purpose is. And I think, what a terrible place to be in. And why? And I want to say to them, why? You've got God on the inside. You've got the Holy Spirit. All you need to do is spend a little time with him and have him, and then do what he's putting on your heart to do that day or that week. And if you do that, one foot in front of the other, you will be in the right place at the right time, and you will look back on your life and say, I was in the purpose of God. So there should be no, you should not have to wonder about that. The just shall live by faith. And so it says, and so, like precious faith, if you remember that scripture that said in Romans 1:17, it says that the just shall live by faith, and that word live is the word flourish. So God wants us to flourish by faith. He gave us the faith to flourish or to obtain the blessing of the kingdom and affect others for Christ. So when it says that we have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. So the word knowledge there is, there's a couple of words for knowledge in the Greek language. One kind of means head knowledge, gnosis, and then there's another word called epignosis. And epignosis, that is the word we're talking today. It's a deeper understanding. It means a full discernment, exact, complete knowledge. In other words, the word seed, the word of God, the word seed. The word actually speaks about having a participation with the source of that knowledge. So when you look at the word epignosis, it's talking about having a participation in the source of that knowledge, which would be in the presence of God and which would be in his word on a daily basis, getting to know his word and growing. What you're doing here tonight. So it's full discernment, exact, complete knowledge. When we plant his word seed, we are planting his life source. And boy, so you're talking about like healing. Oh, by his stripes I'm healed. When you start speaking that word over your body, no, sickness, get out of my body. I will not be sick another day in my life. Father, I give you praise that I'm one with you. By your stripes I'm healed. Well, you're planting that seed, that word seed. You're planting his life source. So let's go on to the next scripture, 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Do you see why I'm going to have so many Greek words? Did you hear what that one scripture said? I mean, what a powerful scripture. As his divine power has given to us all things. When I hear people say, oh, I need this, I'm going, wait a minute, he said he's given you all things. All you have to do is tap into it. All things that pertain to life and godliness. How do we receive that? Through the knowledge, the epignosis, the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. This word divine power is the word dunamis. It's one of the biggest power words that's used in the New Testament. It literally means God's miraculous power that overcomes all resistance. And so you think you've got that power on the inside of you. You've got the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. He is the power of God. And so I love that word dunamis. God's miraculous power that overcomes resistance. As his divine power has given to us all things. And that word all things is the word pan or pan pas or panta. It's all the same word in the Greek. And it literally means all things, nothing left out. And so, boy, you have to get a hold of it that way. There's nothing left out. But if you notice, this is through the knowledge. In other words, that's talking about all that we need for a flourishing life and godly life is attainable through intimate, full knowledge of him, his word seed, and his presence. So when it says, who called us by glory and virtue, that word called is the word kaleo. And it means to bid, to invite, to beckon, or to summon. You have to understand what I'm talking to you tonight about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom operates. God has called you into this. And I'm gonna say it another word. He hasn't just called you. He is calling you. Every day, he's calling you to go deeper. Every day, he's bidding you. He's inviting you. I like this word when I saw the word beckoning. That's almost, beckoning is almost a beg. He's almost begging. He's beckoning. Please, please come into this. Please get a hold of this. You need this. I've provided all of this for you. It's all here. Please pay attention. Please get into my word. Please start taking a look at how this operates. To summon somebody. Have you ever received a summons? I hope you never receive a summons from the state. I've received a summons before. I'll tell you, I had the police knock on my door when I was a drug addict. And that almost scared me straight right there. But after I became a Christian, I had a car accident. And the person that I had hit sued me. And so they were summoning me. They sent the sheriffs to me at 4 o'clock in the morning to serve me papers to court to go, and it was a lawsuit. So, I mean, if you've been summoned, you don't want to be summoned. Well, this is a good summon. God is summoning you into his court. He's summoning you into his kingdom. He's summoning you into his blessing. So it says, who has called us by glory and virtue? I love when I looked at the King James Version. They have it a little twist to it. It says, who has called us to his glory and virtue. So not only have we been called, summoned, and pleaded with, he has also invited us by and to his glory and his excellence. And how could it not be so? Because in a covenant, when you're born again and you've entered into the covenant, you've become one with him. The covenant actually, I always sum it up this way. All that I am and all that I have now belongs to you. Isn't that what a marriage is? If you get married to somebody and it's not all that I have and all that I am now belongs to you, you're going to have trouble in your marriage. You probably won't stay married for very long because you're trying to live single in a married environment. You're trying to live single in a covenant environment, and it won't work out. And so God is saying, I have given you all things. Let's look at 2 Peter 1:4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, by which have been given. Notice that that's past tense. He's already done it. It's already been given. You've already been invited. When Jesus went to the cross, he opened up the way to the Father. He established the new covenant. It was at that moment that everybody who becomes born again, no matter what century you live in, immediately you are a partaker of everything that he has. And so it has been done, and it is established. So this word have been given not only is in the past tense, but it also means gifted. It means to bestow upon. It means to endow. This has been, did you know that a kingdom has been bestowed upon you? Not just a kingdom, his kingdom has been bestowed upon you. And that's what we saw in Luke 17, 20 to 21, where it says the kingdom of God is within you. But he said, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. The word exceedingly great, you know, if he would have said great, that would have been pretty good. But he said exceedingly great. You know what he's saying? Beyond great. It's way beyond great. And this word megistos actually means the greatest of great is what that word means. It's the highest of great. It's the best that could ever be. As his by have been given to us his exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. So the precious promises, the word precious, Pay attention, because we're going to tie this in at the very end of the teaching. You're going to see something, how this ties in. The word precious is timea, and it actually, you know what the word precious, the word timea comes from? The word time. Now you're going, okay, so what? No, time is spelled this way, T-I-M-E. Time. And it means something to be honored, something valuable. Did you know that time is valuable? And so I love how a lot of these words are in our English language. Precious, timea. It means valuable, costly, prized. It means to esteem and to honor. So you're looking at something that is so precious, so costly, so wonderful, that has been lavished upon humanity. And that is God in his word. Given you that these precious promises, the word promises means this, an emphatic public announcement that is bestowed upon. So it's the same, kind of the same thing like precious. They kind of go together. So God's word has been bestowed upon you. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. The word partakers is a really interesting word if you've been looking at Greek words in the New Testament. This word here, koinonos, is from a word, koinonia. Now you're going, so? Well, whenever, every month we take communion, that's the word koinonia. It means oneness. It means to be intimate, to be a partaker with, to be one with, to be in union with. And so here, this word partakers is right on that same line. That means to be a sharer, a joint partner. It implies oneness with. So you've got to see, when you look at that Bible, when you look at the Word of God, I know you're seeing words on a page, and you're going, oh, I never did like to read when I was, I didn't like reading when I was in school or whatever. You have to understand, force yourself, because you are not, these are not just normal words on a page. This is the kingdom, this is the Word of God, his declared word, his announcement that's been bestowed upon you. This is your inheritance for walking in the kingdom of God. Now, you can remain basic in the kingdom if you want, and you'll only be availed to basic needs. Or you can go deeper, and you can go deeper, and you can go deeper. It depends how much of the depths of God's blessing you would like to walk in. It really is up to you how much of this. Now, if you're just saying, well, I just need to go to heaven. Okay, that's basic. You're born again. Keep coming to church. Keep away from sin. And, you know, you'll get to heaven one day. And try not to get beat up while you're down here by the devil too much. But you need to learn about your authority. You need to learn how authority over the enemy works. You need to learn how faith operates. If you're going to be successful and you're going to have the devil under your feet, then you need to learn some things, because you have rights that have been given to you by Almighty God to live in success on this earth, so that you may be partakers of the precious partakers of his divine nature. Here's what I wanted to get into. So when you look at the word divine nature, we're going to take a look at these two words. The word divine is theos, which is actually means godlike. That should be no surprise, godlike. Theo, T-H-E-O, is the word for God, the Greek word for God. So this word here, T-H-E-I-O-S, theos, actually is the word that means godlike. So that you may be partakers of the godlike nature. Well, that's already good, but wait till we get to this word. So the word nature is the word phusis, and it literally means this. It means to birth and bring forth by germination. See, that may not mean too much to you, germination, unless you're a farmer or you grow marijuana. And so that's kind of being a farmer. And so back in the day when I was a drug addict, I wanted my seeds to grow faster. So I'd get a towel, lay all my pot seeds on there, put the towel over it, and then coat it with water. And then set it like set it somewhere in kind of a warm environment on top of a refrigerator or something like that. And all of a sudden, those seeds would sprout. And then you could take those sprouted seeds, they're already starting to grow now, and you could take the sprouted seeds and then plant them in dirt, and they're already sticking up above the soil. They've already got little leaves on them and everything. And you can grow your plants faster. Oh, Pastor Dan's teaching us how to grow marijuana. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you how germination process works. But you see, it's sprouted seeds. That's what I want you to get. Remember, we're talking about seed time and harvest here tonight, okay? We're talking about the Word of God, not about marijuana. We're talking about germinating the Word. How do you sprout the Word? And so he's talking here that you may be partakers of the divine nature. So this word nature means to birth, to bring forth by germination or expansion. It means this, natural production. I like that word, natural production. Remember, a seed produces after its own kind, right? Orange seeds don't bear apples. Orange seeds produce oranges. Apple seeds produce apples. Okay. So let's now look at this a little different. Let's kind of put some of this together. That through these, you know, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine natural production. God wants you to be a partaker of his divine natural production. That's powerful. If I was you in this service, I'd be jumping up and down. I'd be shouting right now. Because God is saying, I want you, Richard, to be partakers of my divine natural production. I want you, Stephen, to be partakers of my divine natural production. I want you, Arlene, to be partakers of my divine natural production. God is saying, I want to produce in you. I want to produce through you. I want to produce in your workplace. I want to produce in your environment. Wherever you go, I want fruit to be coming forth in your life. And you can't do it on your own. You need me. And I can bring it forth because I know exactly what I created you to be and why you're here on the earth. And I want to work through you. Well, what does God produce? He produces victory, health, wealth, joy, love, overcoming ability, peace, and life. And it's all contained in his word seed. We can share and should share in the God-like production, natural production, while here on the earth. We'll look at verse 4c now, the last part of verse 4. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Did you know that there's corruption in this world? There are people that live in fear, especially in the time that we're living in right now, this last year, last 2 years. There's people looking at the world, what's going on in the world, and they're in fear. They don't want to go outside. They don't want to go to the store. I see it when I go to the store. I see people, you get too close to them, they're like, you know, they're kind of like, well, what are you doing? You know, I go to the post office to pick up, we have a P.O. box. And our P.O. box is right next to the kiosk. I mean, it's like 6 inches away from the kiosk where people mail, you know, do their letters and get stamps and everything. And so there's always somebody at that kiosk. And then I got to walk up and bend down and put the key in and open it. But when I am coming in next to them, they don't know what I'm doing. And they're kind of like, you can see them looking at me like, what is this guy doing? And I guess it's because I'm not really too small. That's probably why one of the reasons why they get a little bothered by me, I guess. But then I bend down, put the key in, and open it up, and they're like, "Oh, okay, he's just getting into the P.O. box." And plus, the P.O. box is in El Monte, so I guess I can understand why people might be a little shaken by some of that. But people are in fear, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The word corruption means decay, ruin, and destruction. Did you know that this earth is under a curse? That when Adam and Eve, the original sin that took place, God pronounced a curse upon the earth. And so evil is in the earth. And so there is destruction, there is ruin here. But we are not children of ruin. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. We're redeemed from it. We've been brought out from underneath the curse. And so we are children of light in this world. So there should be no fear in your life. because we have having escaped the corruption of this world through lust. Now, when you hear the word lust, the first thing you probably think of is eroticism, and you think of sexual and pornography and stuff. That is not the lust that it's talking about. However, that lust can be contained in this word. But the word lust, epithumia, simply means a desire for what is forbidden. Remember when Eve, when the serpent tempted Eve in the garden because the fruit looked good to eat, and God had said, don't eat of it, and this serpent was tempting her with that fruit. And I bet you that was a real good-looking plant, you know. And she gave into lust. She gave into her own heart's desire over what God had proclaimed. So it means a desire for what is forbidden. It means this, greed. Greed is a good word for this. Greed, self-centeredness, rebellion toward God. That which the original sin brought into the earth, which is the curse. And what was linked to the curse? Death. And so death. And so death, and I say it this way, death and its effects, which would be sickness and disease. So he has given us life to produce his life in his cursed earth. How? Through his word seed. Again, you hear me saying word seed over and over. I want you to grab a hold of this. A seed needs to be planted. Remember Mark 4:26, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Take a look at Luke 13:18 and 19. Then he said, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? Now, here's Jesus doing a parable again. But listen, he's talking about the kingdom of God. You want to know what the kingdom of God is like? I'm going to show you right here. So he says, what is it like, and what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree. And the birds of the air nested in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. So notice what it says in the first. There's two illustrations here. One is with a mustard seed, a little small, little dot of a seed. And it said, it is like a mustard seed which a man took and put in his garden. Notice the man took it and the man put it. There were two things he did. He took it and he put it. In other words, he saw the value and the potential of the seed. He firmly took hold of the seed and intentionally and thoughtfully planted and watched over the seed. Notice he didn't just plant it anywhere. He planted it in his garden. Because in his garden was all the fruits and that were necessary to bear life. So it was a patch of ground that he watched over, he tilled it, he fertilized it, he watered it, he nurtured those plants because those plants were going to benefit him. But notice what he did with the seed. He took it and he put it. You can't just take the seed. That's not enough. You got to take hold of it, and then you got to do something with the seed. You have to plant the seed. Not enough to take it. You have to plant it. So he took and put. And look what the seed did. It grew and became. He took and put, and it grew and became. It grew, and then manifestation came with fruit. It manifested and produced a harvest so large that others, the birds of the air, nested in its branches, that others were able to benefit from its produce as well. God wants you to be fruitful in your life, so it will benefit you, but the harvest will be so large in your life that you will also spill out and have influence on other people and be able to help them. See, I don't know your name. Brianna? I have a niece named Brianna. So tonight I was spilling out onto you. And so we got to talking about Greek a little bit before the service. And all of a sudden, what did I do? I started talking to her about learning the Greek alphabet. I started talking to her about prepositions. I started talking to her about the Blue Letter Bible app. I said, hey, if you download this app next Sunday, I'll give you a mini tutorial for about 10 or 15 minutes. You and I can meet together, and I'll show you how to operate this, and you can start looking at Greek and Hebrew words, and you can start moving into the depth. Then you can get into learning about how to read Greek and how to benefit out of these, out of the interlinear portion of it. What was I doing? Something has been birthed on the inside of me. See, there was a seed that was planted on the inside of me. God told me one day, he said, I want you to learn Greek, how to read Greek. And so I did. I planted a seed. I took the word seed that God spoke to me. I planted it in my heart, and it took me a while, and then it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And all of a sudden, now what is happening in my life, birds of the air are nesting in its branches because I'm able to, I've talked to, if anybody's heard me in OSL, I've talked about learning Greek. And I have Greek pages here. I said, I've got handouts ready to go. I'm just trying to find people to hand them out to. See, I've got something that's been birthed on the inside of me. I've benefited from it. I am benefiting from it daily. And I would like to see other people plant that seed, and they would grow, and it would benefit in their life, and then they can splash out onto other people as well. So now Brianna's going like, well, he's really going to put me to this. Next Sunday, he's going to see me. Yeah, I am. All right. Took and put. Grew and became. Notice what the woman did. Now we're talking about leaven. With the leaven, did you know that leaven is a type of a seed? It's even smaller than a mustard seed. Have you ever seen yeast? Have you ever dumped some in your hand and seen how small those little granules of yeast are? And so you can get a dough, and then you throw this little quarter teaspoon or whatever that little packet is, and you put that into that dough, and you start kneading that, and then you let it set. You come back and it like doubles in size. So the woman, she also, so the woman said, what shall I like in the kingdom of God is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leaven. So she also saw the value of the seed, inserted it into her dough and thoroughly kneaded, mixed it until it was completely saturated, and it did its work and produced a harvest of raised dough. But look what the woman did. She took and hid. She took it. She saw the value of it. She saw that this is rich. This is valuable. There's something here that'll benefit me. And then she inserted it. She had to have an action that went along with the word. She inserted it into three measures of meal or dough. I believe that these three measures of meal are talking about our body, soul. I'm talking spiritually. It's talking about our body, referencing our body, soul, and spirit. And so one of these examples, the first example, is talking about planting seeds that benefit the world around you. Benefit you, but you also benefit the world around you. And the second refers to you being benefited, body, soul, and spirit, planting the word seed in you. Isn't that good? I just love that. I've memorized that one as well, because when I saw that, the Lord showed me that took and put, took and hid, and then he showed me grew and became. Man, I caught it. The Holy Spirit just said, did you see what it says there? And all of a sudden, he showed me that took and put, grew and became, and it took and hid. And I thought, man, we've got to take the word and we've got to do something with it. We just can't let the word seed sit in the bag. We got to plant it. And so it meant something so much to me that I actually took and memorized that block of scripture. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is living by faith? Sowing, the sower sows the word. This is how the kingdom operates. Is we become seed sowers, word sowers. I used to say, when in need, plant a seed. But I've changed that now, because if you wait till you're in need to plant a seed, it's too late. Because why? You got to wait for the seed to grow and become a tree. That could take a year. And so I like the phrase, when in need, plant a seed, but you shouldn't do that. You should plant the seed every day. You should be planting the seed all the time. You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, cast your bread upon the waters, and it will come back to you on every wave. And so I want to have a harvest coming back every day. I want to live in harvest time. Well, if I want to live every day in harvest time, what do I need to be doing? I need to be planting every day. As long as I'm sowing, continually sowing, I'm continually reaping a harvest. And so this is part of the fact of why I memorize scripture. I'm sowing the word every day. I'm repeating scripture. I'm sitting there and I got my hands up and I'm just going through these scriptures and I'm so insane. I'm going, and I'll quote a scripture and I go, oh, yeah, that's for me. That's mine right there. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. And I quote another, oh, that's mine. That's mine. Oh, thank you for what you did there. Thank you for that inheritance. Thank you, Lord. So I'm planting seed. I'm keeping that seed alive continually within the good soil of my heart. In regards to financial giving, we're going to talk about there's lots of different ways to sow seed in the Bible. But in regards to financial giving, you know, giving our tithes, our offerings, giving into missions and that type of thing. Look what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Did you hear what God is saying? He wants you to have an abundance for every good work. He wants you to have more than enough to do and accomplish what he has ordained for you to do. God loves a cheerful giver. You know what being cheerful is all about? It's knowing that you're in the kingdom. And knowing how the kingdom operates. And knowing that when you sow, you're going to reap a harvest. And knowing that when you sow, birds of the air are going to be nested in the branches. You're going to reach out. Your sowing is going to affect other people. Especially when we give into church giving. And you're giving in, you know, when you give your tithe, when you give your offerings, that's going into all the facilities here at Valley Community. And what we're doing, OSL, children's ministries, all the lives that are being touched, adult ministries, women's ministries, men's ministries, all the areas that Valley Community Church is involved in, you are reaping, you're sowing into a harvest into people's lives, into building people in the kingdom of God, disciples in the kingdom of God. So like I said, the Bible speaks in many ways to sow, tithes, offerings, love, compassion, helps ministries, works of service, mentoring, discipleship, worship, prayer. When you're worshiping God, when you're praying, you are sowing seed into the kingdom of God. But I want you to see something a little differently here in a certain scripture that you may be very familiar with. Galatians 6, 7 through 9, it says, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, word seed, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The Greek actually states this a little bit stronger in verse 8 by saying it this way. And boy, I knew this scripture for years. And one day the Lord says, hey, I want you to look this up. And I said, I know what this is saying. And he says, you do, huh? And so the Lord said, look it up anyway. I think you're going to be a little amazed. And so it says, for he who sows, you know, it says he who sows to his flesh. In the Greek, it uses the word EIS. I was talking to Brianna about this earlier. And EIS means, ace means into. So it says, he who sows, it actually says, he who sows into his flesh will out of his flesh reap corruption. You know, that's like planting seed. You sow into the ground, and out of the ground comes a plant that produces a harvest. And then it says, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit, well, in the Greek it says, but he who sows into the Spirit will out of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's a lot stronger. How do you sow into the Spirit? Well, there's worship, prayer, but not one of the, what a very strong way to sow into the Spirit is through your prayer language, speaking in tongues, if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Or you can spend time praying in the Spirit. What you are doing is you are sowing into, you're planting into the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and then out of the Holy Spirit will come a harvest. Man, when I saw that, I just said, Lord, this is sowing and reaping. He goes, that's exactly what it is. And I says, man, we sow into the Spirit and then out of the Spirit. And so I've actually said to somebody one day, I said, so since that is the case, if you're not sowing into the Spirit, then how much of the Spirit are you reaping? If you didn't put anything in, then how much are you getting out? Now, there's always grace. Don't get me wrong. Thank God for grace. But if you want to be intentional about this, you can move into a deeper area of your life and you can actually start taking time aside. Keiko and I both do this. We spend time. The other day I walked up and Keiko was in front of the sink. And so she didn't, I guess, hear me walk into the kitchen. And she had her hands moving. And she was kind of like looking at the faucet. And her hands were just kind of going like this. Her hands are moving. And so I walked up to her and I said, what did the faucet do to you? And she said, oh, I'm praying in the Spirit. And so she's praying, she was standing there praying in the Spirit, and her hands were going. Well, I saw her in the natural in the kitchen, but I'm gonna tell you, that woman was somewhere else. She was in the Spirit, and I don't know what she was taking authority over or what she was speaking in tongues over. Who knows? But she was taking care of some business somewhere by sowing into the Spirit. And so we both do this. We both spend time doing this. And so let that sink into you tonight. A lot of people will say, speaking in tongues, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't understand it. And then the devil will say to them, well, you're just gibberish. There's no benefit to it. Oh, that is a major lie. That is a major lie. And so when you are doing that, when you are speaking in your prayer language, you are speaking mysteries, divine secrets, and you're downloading his wisdom, grace, power, revelation, and thoughts and insights for your success in every area of life. I'm going to end on this one scripture. Remember I told you about precious, and I told you pay attention to that. We're going to end with that, and so I want you to, so just Psalms 126, 5 and 6. It says, though those who sow in tears shall reap in joy, he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So when you look at that, he who continually goes forth weeping. You know, sometimes it's not convenient to sow. Did you know that? Have you ever encountered that? Sometimes maybe your finances may be low, and maybe you've got some unexpected bills come up. I've heard people that have actually said this to me, I'm sorry, brother, I just can't afford to tithe. And you know what I say to them? No, you can't afford not to tithe. If you think it's bad now, then don't tithe and watch what happens. The enemy will come in and overwhelm you with steal, kill, and destroy. No, you can't afford not to tithe, because if you look at Malachi chapter 3, what tithing does, it opens the windows of heaven. And so, no, you need to tithe. And so that's one of the things. I've been in situations where I've had bills hit me, large expenses, and I go to write my tithe, and just for a second, I hear the enemy say, yeah, you can pass on it this month. You need that money to go here. And I go, your mama, get out of here. And I said, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to write that check. I'm going to tithe, because I know that I'm going to sow into the kingdom of God. And when I sow, I'm going to reap. There's a harvest that's connected with it. So this is a person, he who goes continually goes forth weeping. This is when it's tough to tithe, when it's tough to give. It's hard. They're weeping. Bearing seed for sowing shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, bringing the harvest that he sowed with him. But there's a word missing here in the Hebrew language. When you look at it in the Hebrew, there's a word that didn't get translated. I don't know why. I asked the Lord tonight, show me why this word didn't get translated. But the word in the Hebrew is the word precious. And so it's the word meshek, and it means precious. It means a possession. It means something valuable. And it's right there between bearing and seed. It actually says in the Hebrew language, bearing precious seed. Not just bearing seed, bearing precious seed. You need to understand that the word seed is precious. It's valuable. It's priceless. It cost Jesus everything to purchase the word seed for us. And he gave it to us because it's kingdom. It's how the kingdom operates. He purchased the kingdom. He purchased the word seed. He says you've got to take and put. You've got to take and hide the seed. You've got to do something with the seed to get the benefits of the blessing of the kingdom flourishing and moving in your life. Remember that scripture in 2 Peter 1:4 that I told you to pay attention to? It says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, word seed, that through these you may be partakers of the divine natural production. I hope you don't think that's small, because God doesn't think it's small. He gave you the ability, he gave you the tools, he gave you the seed so that you can take on his godlike natural production within your life. You know, remember the old song Frank Sinatra sang, I did it my way? I don't want to do it my way, because my way will produce small results. Man can't outproduce God. Man can do some things, but it's puny, it's small, it's just so tiny compared to what God can do in that man's life. God can take a drug addict and make him a preacher. I think back on that all the time. If anybody back in those days would know who I am today, they'd be looking at me like, say what, him? There's no way. I remember when I started learning Greek, and my mom, she's looking at me and she goes, how'd you learn that? She couldn't believe it either. I was her son. She knows who I am. How'd you learn that? Where'd you get that? How can you do that? Those things? Because I've been planting word seed in my life, Mom. And the word seed's growing up, and it's producing. And it will continue to produce as long as we keep planting. But I like where it says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed for sowing, look at this, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It's doubtless that seed will produce. You're going to have a harvest. You're going to get a harvest. It's going to happen. It's doubtless. Boy, when I saw that word doubtless, I looked it up in the Hebrew language, and it actually means this. There's no question that this is an absolute fact. No matter what the circumstances or anyone else says, it will happen. Yes. I remember years ago, I heard somebody on a sitcom many years ago saying, it's a fact, Jack. And I said, I like that. It's a fact, Jack. And so that's basically what doubtless means. It's a fact, Jack. You can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. No matter what you think, no matter what anybody says, it's going to happen. Doubtless. I just love that scripture. I'm working on that one. I'm memorizing that one now because I just love that, how it just says, bearing precious seed. He shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and a harvest. Praise God. So make it your aim in life to be a seed sower within the kingdom. Next week, we're going to talk about how to release, how to get that, how to plant, how to get that seed moving into the soil. And powerful, powerful, powerful. Father, we give you praise tonight. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for your word. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you.